Welcome to the Alt-Schwift X Horoscope for the 28th of May, 2018. We're here to use the motion of the stars to discern your future on the 28th of May. And the stars, I can tell you, mostly they've been glittering. The stars have been glittering, and you know that many a song and poem and piece of art has been made to celebrate the beauty of the stars, but to be frank, they're a bit one note, aren't they? What with all the glittering? Maybe they should try, like, they could blink, you know? They could sort of zip about, they could flash, they could change color. Why all the white and the yellow? Some of them are a little blue, to be honest, but I feel like they could really change things up a bit. What with the glittering. Our first star sign today is Aries. Aries, on the morning of the 28th, you're gonna feel something in your chest. Some kind of blockage, some kind of discomfort. There's something sort of right where the rib cage is, right behind in your, it's rising and there is something lodged in your throat. It's stuck in you're coughing. You gotta get this out. You can barely breathe. You've gotta hack and cough and punch your chest and do a bit of the what's it called? The Heisenberg, the Ludovico? How do they hoik? You hoik the, someone has to help you out, and it comes out of your mouth. It comes out of your throat, and you cough into your hand, and what you find in your hand is a damp piece of Lego. You just coughed up a piece of Lego, and you don't recall having eaten a piece of Lego. It's not something you do these days. Maybe when you were younger, but you don't eat Lego, so you're pretty puzzled by the Lego that you've coughed up. It's just one of those classic, traditional four stud square red Lego bricks. And it's the strangest thing. You don't know how it got there. Maybe you had like a surgery some years ago. Maybe like the doctor dropped a piece of Lego inside you and it's only coming out now. Maybe that's what happened. It's a mystery to you. But you put it by the mantle. It's a mystery for another time. And you almost forget about the Lego you coughed up until, hold on. You feel something in your throat. It's lodged right in the esophagus. Something's stuck, and you can't. Oh, you can barely breathe. You're choking. Everybody's choking now. Oh God, you've got to get it out. You holler for your mate to do the Heimlich again. You wretch. It's awful. This is big. It's, oh my, cough it up. There's another Lego. You coughed up another Lego, and this one's different. This one's blue, and it's 6x2. It's a long piece, which is why it was so uncomfortable in your throat. Blue, 6x2. You're quite certain that you never swallowed any Lego, but you've coughed up Lego. What are you gonna do? Well, you got two pieces of Lego now. What is there to do with two pieces of Lego but to join them together? You're like, well, why not? I'm gonna join these pieces of Lego together, and you pick up the one and you click it back in, and you get a distinct feeling that this is exactly how they were. Oh, hold on. Oh shit! Not, are you? Is this happening? Oh my! another pit. Hold on. Oh, fuck. Oh, they're pouring out now. Holy
so much Lego. You've got a box full of greasy, damp Lego that you've just vomited out of you. All this Lego. And you can't stop yourself. You just start putting the pieces together. All of these different pieces of Lego. And somehow you just know how they're meant to join together. The blue ones, they go to the red ones. You join them up and you make right angles. It's all about the right angles. You build, there's like a foundation. There's so many. And you just keep on coughing them up. You just, over and over, they just keep on coming. They keep on coming. This pile of Lego is larger than you are. You're just a fire hose of multicolored Lego. You're just vomiting plastic. It's incredible. It's a sight to see. They start live streaming it on YouTube. The news stations come. All the world's media is watching this Lego pour out of your body. It's incredible. And like a madman, you can do nothing but join the Legos together. More and more Lego. A mountain. You have to get like scaffolding and a construction crane because the Lego, it's covering your house now. The Lego has swallowed your house and some of the neighbors, and everyone's just watching in awe, helicopters flying above of this mad person just constructing, putting all the Lego. You can't even, every time you put one piece, more comes flying up. It's a mountain, it's towering, it's a whole multi-stage. It's like one of those Mesopotamian temples. It's like a pyramid constructed of Lego. There's steeples, there's minarets, there's fluted ceilings, it's this whole gigantic. And then it's done. It's done. And you sit and you breathe heavily and you try to remember what it was to be something other than a Lego vomiting constructing machine, and you just breathe and you gaze blearily with moist eyes up at the Lego temple before you, and it's quiet. For the first time in a long time, it's quiet, except for the flashing of the news cameras behind you. The whole world is watching. The whole world's media, all religious people have come as to the shrine, and profiteers and people selling hot dogs outside. And you can hear just slowly, just softly. There's a heartbeat somewhere deep inside the Lego temple, at the very base, at the very foundation, the inaccessible center of this colossus that you've wrought. It's beating. Taurus, you're going to have an unusual day. You're going to have a pretty unusual Monday. Because when you wake up on Monday morning, you are not going to be the person you usually are. You're going to be someone else. You're going to wake up in an unfamiliar bedroom. You're going to wake up in an unfamiliar bedroom in an unfamiliar city at an unfamiliar time. You're going to wake up and you're looking at a body that you recognize as not yours. You're in someone else's skin. Who are you? You walk to the mirror and you look at the mirror on Monday morning and you see Grammy-nominated American recording artist Busta Rhymes. On Monday, you will be Busta Rhymes. And there's sort of a few ways you can play this. The responsible thing to do would be to stay at home and relax and watch TV, read a book, browse some of Busta Rhymes' library, and just lay low. Because it would be pretty rude or obnoxious if you affected Busta Rhymes' life in any kind of negative way, because that's the thing, you really could. You could ring up a bunch of Busta Rhymes' friends and family and play havoc with his relationships. You could go on social media
and get into some kind of antics, get into TMZ, go and indecently expose yourself down Venice Beach. You could do all sorts of crazy stuff. You could spend Busta Rhymes' money. You could run out and do all kinds of things. As Sassy says in the chat, there's responsible body swap protocol, which you should heed. But it's up to you. It's up to you what you do with Busta Rhymes' life for one day. The important thing to remember, though, is that while you are Busta Rhymes, Busta Rhymes is you. So it's like game theory, right? You know, like the prisoner's dilemma, how there's a tendency, basically, for people to fuck each other over. In situations in which it's in people's interests to cooperate, if the incentive structure is perverse, people will fuck each other over. That's the prisoner's dilemma. If you've got the same problem with the body swap situation, because it's in both people's interests in the body swap to just lay low, be responsible. But sometimes the incentive structure is perverse, and you and Busta, you might fuck up each other's lives. The choice is yours. Gemini. On Monday, you'll be visited by a beetle. You don't usually invite beetles as guests to your home. I mean, you do unknowingly. Many a beetle and spider and creature is living inside your home right now, scratching about, eking out an existence, listening. And the beetles, as it turns out, have a council, is what the beetle says. The beetles have a council, and they've made a decision down in the beetle court. Traditionally, they raise smoke from out the conclave chimney when they've reached a decision, and the beetles have reached a decision, and they've decided that you are their next monarch. You are to be crowned the ruler of the insects. You are the insect king or queen. And you'll be welcomed into your new apartment, your new kingdom, your crown, your seat down below in the insect cities beneath which where we walk, and it's going to be pretty exciting at first. You've never been a monarch before, and you enjoy the luxury of the insect king / queen life, but you're surprised by the tedium of beetle politics. As it turns out, the centipedes and the little roly-poly beetles have been in this just interminable conflict for centuries now, with no hope of it being resolved, and the ladybirds are really a pain in the ass. They're demanding economic concessions and the lifting of various sanctions, which, as the millipedes explain to you, are there for very good reasons. So it's a pain in the ass, and you abdicate regency over the insect kingdom. And it's probably for the best. It's probably for the best, but you do receive a generous pension from the insects for the rest of your life, despite your abdication. So all in all, it's a pretty good deal. Cancer. You are a natural. An absolute born natural, a skilled auteur of a sport that doesn't exist. It's called racket hop paddle squashes. It's called racket racket hot paddle squashes. And this sport doesn't exist, but you are naturally gifted at this sport. In fact, you are the best player of this sport in the world. And you'll never get to use this great skill unless the sport gets invented. So that is something that you have the option to do, Cancer. You can do your best to bring this sport into existence by developing it and popularizing it and making your racket hop squash ball things and so on. You could start a local league and eventually petition to have the sport added to the Olympics. Great arenas where millions of people come to watch the great racket hop bobble squash paddle berry games. But you don't actually know how it works, so it'll have to be by trial and error. Okay, you're going to have to just pick up a racket, just sort of wave it around, find different sort of sizes of balls, nets. Is this a team sport? Does it have goal posts? Does it have hoops? You're just going to have to experiment. You're just going to have to chuck together all these different elements of different sports until you find the exact right delicate combination of factors that make your body, your mind, just perfectly suited, like a machine, to this sport. And then and only then will you achieve fame and adoration at this particular sport. But then you've got to ask yourself, do you want the fame and adoration that comes with being a professional hurdle, hop, paddle, berry player? Do you want to be that? It's really up to you. But the game's pretty fun. So, I mean, just from a personal, selfish point of view, I'd love to be able to spectate that sport. Leo, tomorrow you're going to have a great orgasm at a bad time. This is one to remember. This is one for the history books. This is a knee-shaking, just sweat-inducing, just whole-body experience. And at any other time and place, it would be great, but it's not gonna happen at the right time or place. It's gonna be really inconvenient. It's gonna cause problems in your work life, in your home life. It's embarrassing. You drop things. There's a whole chain of repercussions, and I'm not gonna get into the details. But it's a whole mess that's gonna be created as a result of this orgasm. And I'd say be ready. But there's no readying for this, I'm afraid. Libra, you're adopted. Your parents have been trying to think of the right way to tell you this for decades, but they never quite found the words. They never quite found the way to break it to you. You are a chimney baby. You're a chimney baby, Virgo, rather. Virgo, you're a chimney baby. Because your parents found you in their fireplace one winter's morning, when a baby was just dropped unceremoniously into their home. So Virgo, you're adopted, and your parents don't know where you came from. It might have been some kind of fairy or spring-heeled jack or some kind of a stork. But here's my theory. There was a storm that winter's night. There was a big storm where... Oh no, this is definitely Virgo. Definitely Virgo. Okay, are we up to... Oh, is that... Okay. This is definitely Virgo. Sorry, Libra, you're not adopted. I'm sorry for the false alarm. It's Virgo who was adopted. And Virgo, on the night that you appeared in your parents' house as a chimney baby, there was a great storm. And just in the moment before you appeared in their fireplace, there was a lightning strike. And the stars suggest that that lightning strike ran down through this direct center of your chimney. It's a miraculous, spectacularly improbable strike. But that lightning strike struck your fireplace through the chimney into your home, and it was after that moment that you appeared, Virgo. You, as a baby, you were carried to Earth through this lightning strike. And your parents ever since have been raising a lightning baby. You might have noticed some superpowers. Like you have a slightly greater tendency to produce static electricity. If you're ever on a trampoline or a vinyl carpet, you notice that you can generate sparks slightly easier. Your metabolism moves 20% faster than the non-electrically inclined people. And it's important to remember that you are AC, but not DC. You are alternating current. And you want to get that right, if ever you undergo maintenance, and so on. But I think you should revel in your new identity, Virgo, as a lightning baby. Enjoy, and avoid rubber, because that shit's not conductive. Libra, you are going to remember tomorrow, 28th of May, 2018, for the rest of your life. On your deathbed, you will remember the 28th of May, 2018. And that's not because you are destined to experience something incredible on this day. It's just that you will remember it no matter what you choose to do. This is definitely Libra, isn't it? That's what Libra looks like. Let's just double check. That's what Libra... Libra. How do you spell Libra? It's the internet's down. Okay. I'm pretty sure, Libra, that you will remember tomorrow for the... It is... Because that one's Libra, and then the next one, that's Scorpio, and then that's Sagittarius. Scorpio, and that's Libra. Libra, you will remember the 28th of May for the rest of your life. So, it's a good idea for you to make sure that you use that day to its fullest. Because you don't have to. You can have a completely ordinary Monday if you so choose. But is that how you want to remember that day forever? Every day of your life, from the 28th until your death, you'll be reminded of the way you spent the 28th. It could be an ordinary day, and maybe that's okay. Maybe you could do something remarkable on Monday. Whatever you do, it will be a part of you forever. Because most of the time in your life, you are spending in minutes and hours and days that will be forgotten. You've forgotten most of your life already, which is kind of a reassuring fact, that most of the time what you're doing will be forgotten, so it doesn't matter if you fuck up, or if you don't live up to your fullest, or if you make a mistake. It's okay, because you're living in forgotten time. But there are moments that will be remembered forever, and the 28th is one of them. So use Monday wisely. Scorpio, on the 28th, you're going to be 5 seconds behind. 5 seconds. That's five. And it's going to get complicated. Because it's like you're going to pick up your spoon to have breakfast in the morning, but the spoon will actually only be raised 5 seconds after you did it. You're going to open the door, but the door's only going to open 5 seconds after. It's going to be very difficult to hold a conversation unless who you're talking to is exceedingly patient. Driving is inadvisable, because you really can't react fast enough. You can't stop at a stop sign 5 seconds too late. That's not going to work. You can't really write at all, even with like a pencil and paper, unless you're very patient. It's going to take a while to get all your letters down. And there are upsides. There are upsides. Like you can... I lied. There are no upsides. There are literally no upsides. You are stuck in the past, and everyone else is living in the present. You are perpetually behind, and you can't participate. Because here's the thing. Everyone lives in the present. And if you don't exist in the present, you don't exist with everyone else. You are alone in the universe if you are 5 seconds behind. You cannot participate. You cannot converse. Well, maybe you can exchange letters, but it's only going to be one day, so the post office isn't even going to... Look, honestly, write it off. Write off the 28th. There's nothing you can get done. Well, no, here's the thing. You can have some you time. Run a bath. Here's the thing. If you run a bath, it doesn't matter if the water only comes out 5 seconds after you open the tap. You can sit in the bath. You can read a book. It's a little bit frustrating that you have to wait 5 seconds for the page to turn, but you can sit in the bath. You can read a book. Just don't do much, and you'll have a great Monday. Have some you time. Sagittarius. On the way home, you're going to drive by a different route. One of the roads is going to be closed, and you're going to go down a different street, and you're going to get lost. You're going to get all turned around. You're going to end up in a neighborhood that you're not familiar with, and your bloody GPS isn't working, and you can't find where you are, and you're in an unfamiliar place, and it's a little bit spooky. You know, it's getting late, it's getting dark, and so you ask for directions. You stop, and you go and you ask a person, a local, and you say, how do I get back towards the city? And they say, it's very easy, just follow that direction. It's going to seem like you're not going towards the city, but you are. Just follow this road, and you'll get back to where you're going. And so you follow the directions, and you're pretty sure that this person was just straight up lying, because, like, you're in the countryside now. Like, you're on a dirt road. You're on, like, this dusty dirt road, and all you see is the silhouettes of trees on either side of you, and you can see eyes peering out of the trees. Little possums and raccoons and things, you assume. Little creatures scampering about and looking at you with these big eyes, and you look up and you see the stars, and even the stars seem unfamiliar. Everything seems a little bit off. You see road signs directing you to places you've never been. You see chain restaurants with names you've never heard of, with no people in them, just the fluorescent lights on, looking like a fucking empty packet of discarded spam. It's strange. Everything's off. Everything's dark. There's birds flying about that you don't recognize. There's vines and creepers up brick walls and cobblestones. There's strange shadows in the far distance, buildings that are shaped in ways you don't recognize. Out in this farmland, there's like these water towers and they're shaped all square, and there's hay sheds that are all... Well, I don't know where we are, but... There's a light. An orb. A floating sphere. And you follow it. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're in the middle of nowhere. You have no way of finding where you are. I mean, why not investigate the orb? You haven't investigated any orbs lately. Just follow the orb. Why not? That's what the orb... that's what you think. I mean, that's what the orb... That's what you think. No, the orb... Hold on. Are you thinking these thoughts? Or is the orb telling you these thoughts? Oh, something strange is happening. Where are you now? Whoa, you're following the orb. It's taking you down into the forest. Into these woods. It doesn't seem safe. You keep tripping over roots. You don't have any control over your body. You can't decide what... Where are you? There's a woman. A stone woman. Standing in a lake. She's crying, by the looks of it. Not moving, what with the stone. But she's standing in a pool. In a kind of a lake. And out of insane impulse, you dip your finger in the lake and you taste it, and it's salt water. There's a stone woman standing in a pool of salt water. That's a stone woman or a stoned woman, Kata asks. Could be both. But you stand before the stone woman in the lake, a salty lake, and you get this irresistible impulse to list all of your grievances. Everything that's ever frustrated you, every problem you've ever had, every relationship that's gone a way you didn't want it to go, every failure you've had in work and creatively and with family, all the mistakes you've ever made, all the regrets you have, all that negative shit, you tell the stone woman in great detail, blow by blow, everything that's ever gone wrong in your life. You tell the stone woman, and she doesn't react. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't do anything. She's like one of those Mother Marys or something, a robed woman with her face contorted in grief. And she hears you out, and then when you're done and you've emptied yourself of all of this negative stuff, and you stop and you just breathe and you realize for a moment, what am I doing talking to this statue in these woods? I'm lost. What am I doing? But then you see a little glisten of moisture, a little teardrop emerge from the corner of the statue's eye, and it runs down past her nose and over her lips, down to her chin, and then you can see it so sharply, a point of light as the teardrop drops from the woman down into the salty lake at her feet. And the height of the lake is raised imperceptibly. And you go back out of the woods and into your car, and you drive home. Capricorn, have you heard the shit that Aquarius is talking about you? Aquarius has been talking mad shit, Capricorn, like behind your back. They've been talking to everyone, they've been getting into people's fucking Twitter DMs, they've been spreading all these rumors about you. I think they're like mad about like when like you got with Joe on like last Thursday. And they've been saying all this shit about what you did with Joe, supposedly. And word's getting around. And, like, all these people... Like, you know the reason why Jess was, like, acting really weird the other week? It's because of that shit that Aquarius has been saying. Right? Aquarius is getting all up in your grill, Capricorn. And they're so two-faced about it. Because they're acting totally normal when you see them. They're acting like best friends when they're around with you, but secretly behind your back they're talking all this shit. Are you just going to take that? Are you just going to take that, Capricorn? Are you going to let Aquarius mess with you like that? I think you need to give... I think you need to fight like with like. I think you need to get revenge on Aquarius for all this shit that they've done to you. Hey, Aquarius. Have you heard the shit that Capricorn's been saying about you? Capricorn has been saying all this shit about, like, your... All these, like, shit decisions that you've supposedly made. Like, apparently, like, that you, like, stole... that really fancy, like, remember when Matt's necklace disappeared, and like was this whole big mystery of like who took it, because like someone who was at the beach house took it, but who took it, you know, who took it? Well, Capricorn says it's you, and that's why Matt's really shitty with you. It's because of this whole thing. Capricorn's been talking all this smack, Aquarius, so like, are you just gonna take it? Are you just going to take it, Aquarius? Are you going to let Capricorn fuck with you like that? Because they've been acting normal with you, right? Capricorn's been acting like you're the best of friends. But in actual fact, they're talking shit about you. So, like, Aquarius, you better get revenge. Aquarius, revenge on Capricorn. Do it. Ophiuchus, you're going to have an interesting day. Do these sounds sound ominous? Ophiuchus, something weird's going to happen. You know what's going to wake you up on Monday morning, Ophiuchus? You know what's going to wake you up? Bleating. You're going to be woken up by bleating. And honestly, the ominous music's inappropriate because you're going to find a little lamb. You're going to find a little lamb at your door. A little baby orphan sheep. Little adorable orphan sheep. Wagging his little tail stump. You know sheep can do that. When sheep are really happy, they wag their little tails. You're going to have this adorable little lamb to look after. And you give it a little bit of milk, you warm it up in the microwave, you give it some milk, and little lamb's drinking the milk like it's the best thing in the world. Having a great time. He's hungry. He's hungry, this little lamb. And he drinks up all the milk and makes a happy little bleat. Normally you wouldn't yet let farmyard animals into your home, but I don't know, this lamb seems pretty clean. And you suddenly realize, at midnight on Monday that, like that night, you realize that, the lamb is toilet trained as well, because you're woken up by the toilet flushing. You hear the toilet flush, and then you hear the sort of clop, clop, clop of the lamb exiting your bathroom, because apparently the lamb knows how to use a toilet. Great. So... the lamb pretty, like, naturally fits into your daily routine. Each day you bring the lamb some milk, and eventually you work your way up to, some sort of, zucchini. The lamb is very, this is Pisces, isn't it? Well, we're talking about Ophiuchus. And the little orphan sheep that you have, becomes best of mates, like this great to have around the house. The lamb even, you're pretty sure the lamb is doing like vacuuming while you're away, like you're not entirely sure, but look, the house is like definitely cleaner when you come home from work and the lamb's been home all day. So like the lamb, you suspect that this lamb is smarter than it lets on. But anyway, so this lamb is like, this lamb is hanging out at your home, and you know there's something weird about it. You know there's something different about this lamb. You're pretty sure that most farmyard animals don't know how to use the bathroom, let alone vacuum. And there is something about its eyes When you really look into its eyes, it really looks back as well, actually. And these eyes seem kind of human? Does this lamb have human eyes? Because eyes don't normally have, like, the round retina, do they? Don't they have, like, the goatee sort of infinity eyes? It's something weird's going on. What's going on with this lamb? But look, you forget about it, and the lamb grows up over the years to become a part of the family, and its fleece grows out to be lush and it's and gold flecked, lush and gold flecked. And you shear the sheep occasionally, for some years, and then eventually just starts shearing itself. It just picks up the clippers with its little hooves. And it shaves off the wool and you sell the gold flecked wool for quite a high price to a local farmer. And it's great. This lamb is really sort of helping your life out, and it seems happy as Larry to be hanging out in your home. An apartment doesn't seem like a natural place for a lamb to live, but the sheep is really happy to be there. And then one day, the sheep's parents arrive. The sheep's parents turn up at your door, and these are the most aristocratic sheep you've ever seen. These sheep are really, really looking good. They are dressed to the nines. They've got these big sheepy coats on and these whole sort of long sheepy trains. Like, you get the sense that these sheep are high fashion sheep. Like, really sort of like abstract, amazing looks going on with these sheep. And they turn up at your door and they explain to you very, very graciously and politely that this lamb, this little sheepling, is their kid. And the reason why they dropped this lamb off at your house those years ago was because, there's sort of this complex intergalactic sheep politics that's been going on for some time. And the sheep, they ease off on the base, which is good of them. And the sheep explain that this sheepling, this lamb, is actually a genetically modified sheep heir to the corporate empire of this sheep family. And this lamb carries within his body a gene that many billions of sheep dollars, they're called bleatos, many bleatos have been spent on the development of this sheep's DNA, which contains very valuable trade secrets, so could we please have our sheep back? And you say, well, hang on. Like, are you coming to reclaim your child, or are you coming to reclaim corporate property? Because that's what it sounds like. It really sounds like you're saying that this is like an economic transaction for you. Like, you're saying like, oh, we need this sheep's DNA. What about this sheep as a person? This sheep is like a great... Well, this sheep's part of our family. We love this little guy. It's great. And then the sheep aristocrats say, but haven't you been selling the gold-flecked fleece of the lamb? Haven't you been profiteering off our child as well? Haven't you been profiteering off our lamb? And you're like, well, yeah, but he's part of the family. He's part of the family. Like, we just love him. Like, the sheep, like, the shearing and the gold-flecked fleece, that's just a perk. It's fine. Like we love the sheep the most. And then the sheep aristocrats say, no, we love the sheep the most. And then it's just like this whole thing. And then King Solomon comes down and he says, well, the only solution is that we cut the sheep in half. And so the sheep aristocrats can keep one half of the sheep, and then the human family can keep the other half. And then you say, well, I know how this works. I know how this works. I'm going to say you take the sheep so that I don't have to cut my beloved sheep in half. And then King Solomon says, no, that's actually not how this works at all. And then, He chopped the sheep in half. King Solomon cut the sheep right in half. Slash. Two half sheep. There's two halves of the sheep. And you're like, oh my god. Oh my god, this is crazy. This is horrible. You've just murdered my dearest, fluffiest family member in front of me. This is so horrible. Why would you do that? You get that the king's it's a parable, right? You're not meant to cut babies in, and then you hear a sound. It regenerates. The sheep is growing. It's growing. Out of the removed torso, it grows. Like the back half, that just has like the body and the legs. There's a new little lamb head picking out of there. And out of the headed half, all these next, the hind legs, they emerge slowly. It's kind of grotesque and it's bloody. But the lamb seems kind of unconcerned. The sheep just, it grows back. And there's two sheep. The two halves grow into two sheep. And so the aristocrats say, all right, we'll take one, because we only need one for the intellectual property, and you keep the other. And you say, so are you the same lamb? Are you the same sheep? And you know what the sheep says? You know what the sheep says? It just bleats. That's sheep for you. Pisces. Sorry for skipping you, Pisces. You are skipped sometimes, Pisces. Not in the sense of being looked over, but in the sense of being thrown across a lake. You've experienced that a lot of times. Like, more times than seems reasonable, honestly. You've been picked up by the legs, swung about 360 degrees, 720 degrees. You've been flung over a body of water. It seems as though every time you go to a body of water, someone picks you up, swings you around, tosses you across to skip across the lake. That's what we're trying to say, skipping across the lake. And you know, you've gotten used to it at this point. Like, you know, you just need to tuck in your legs, close your eyes so you don't get water up your nose. That's how that works. And you just skip right across the lake and land safely on the other side. Like, it's all right once you get used to it. But being skipped like that, it's a real pain in the ass. You've mostly gotten used to it, but here's the thing. You're going to make the mistake of going to the beach. Like, you are often a lake goer. You like a good river, you like a good creek, and that's usually where you get skipped. But for the first time in a while, you're going to go to the beach, out onto the distant coast of your home country, and someone's going to pick you up and spin you around and around. That's right, La Liz. It's just like the Harry Potter video game with the gnome tossing. You're going to be spun around, and then tossed. You're going to be skipped across the ocean. And here's the thing. The ocean's big. When you get skipped across lakes and rivers, it's not such a big deal, because it's a relatively small body of water. But the Atlantic Ocean's very large, and you're going to skip your way across the whole thing. This is going to take days, Pisces. You're going to spend days skipping and popping and jumping across and, you know, there's stormy waters, there's waves. You're going to get really cold, really wet. It's going to suck. It's going to take a long time to get all the way across the Atlantic. But when you arrive, you're going to end up on that island where the Statue of Liberty is, and it's a free holiday. It's a free holiday. Look on the bright side, Pisces. It's a free holiday. That was the Altschwift X horoscope for the 28th of May, 2018. We hope that you take to heart the headings and the lessons and the portends about your future on the coming day. And we hope that you use this day as best you can.